And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Oh, my. Oh, my. First of all, our DDD, it's not what it looks like. That's a good one. Then this other thing I'm going to talk about, who really owns it? That's a good one. But I'm going to do a DDD, which I consider to be one of the top five DDDs ever done on the David Spoon Experience, called No Sacrifice Unnoticed. And after we get through that, we'll close it out with today's Facebook post. I can't hear you.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. No politics, hardly any entertainment, and zero current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. And if you call us, you can't take 5 hours to explain what the color is. Got to be quick. Remember, folks, you can talk about any topic. Because any topic is technically open for conversation, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. That should be obvious. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
As a Christian, the law offices of Robert J. Bomber has always practiced honest and fair dealings with his clients. The fact that he's been in business for 45 years speaks to this fact. His staff has been with him an average of 10 years, and they care as much about his clients as he does. Calls are answered and returned promptly, and he makes after-hours appointments. The first consultation is free. If you have needs of an experienced attorney to handle such matters as custody, divorce, child support, visitation, spousal support, and retirement, call the law offices of Robert J. Bomber at 619-497-0054. Family legal matters such as these are difficult, plain and simple, and that's why you need an experienced attorney. To set up an appointment with Robert J. Bomber, call 619-497-0054. That's Bomber, B-A-U-M-E-R, 619-497-0054. A good person to have on your side.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, was that funny? Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. We don't want to timestamp this show, but I do believe a week from today is going to be that Irish-y holiday thingy, St. Patrick's Day. And the reason that I know that now is because that's the birthday of my first grandchild. See, the Lord has to make things easy for me because I am not easy. That's why he's got to make it easy for me. That's the whole point. That makes sense? Sure. Did you hear that bang, that thud? You should have heard that through the mic. Can you hear that? You hear that? Right. That's everybody else around me banging their heads against the table. Here we go. I've got a couple of DDDs in a row that are just, oh, I think they're really good, and I hope you really enjoy them, and they are beneficial for your Christian walk in some capacity, be it minor or major. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is an excellent method to do that. Don't forget about His Appointment. That's the book. church disappointment, his appointment, if you had a tough experience at church, in relationships, or whatever the case may be, and you can't figure out why God let A, B, and C happen to you, that's what the book tries to address. All right, let's get into it. Do we have a sound for this, by the way? We do, because the title is It's Not What It Looks Like. What do you got? Here it goes.
Why, it's Big Bob Oakley, alias the actor. He's a master at disguises.
He's a master at disguise? That's what you were going with for It's Not What It Looks Like?
Well, it was a Scooby-Doo. They revealed the villain. It wasn't it wasn't a ghost. It was the old Bob whatever.
Okay. I thought it was the old, like, the guy that used to run the roller coaster thing.
Why, it's Big Bob Oakley, alias the actor. He's a master at disguises.
Okay. Must be towards the end of the week. I'm not going to say what day it is. Friday. But it must be towards the end of the week. Here we go. The title, It's Not What It Looks Like. Haggai, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. That's not Haggai. It's Haggai. It's a book in the Old Testament. For those that don't know, here's what it says. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua, and the remnant of the people. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem like nothing to you? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel, the Lord declares. Be strong, Joshua, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. The Lord declares, work, for I am with you. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. Mm-mm. I love this portion. That guy's a great, great. It's short. I mean, come on, it's two chapters. If you can't read two chapters in the Bible, there is something wrong. Look at how cool this is. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet Haggai. He's speaking to Zerubbabel, who's the governor, and to Joshua, who's the high priest. This is not the Joshua with Moses, okay? For those that don't know, there are people that have multiple names. My name is David. I am not the king of Israel. You know, that kind of thing, okay? And he says this, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory, referring to the house of the Lord? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem like nothing to you? So here's what the Lord says. I love this. He goes, who remembers how it used to be? And if you'll remember, the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, especially under Solomon or under their previous administration, so to speak, was fantastic. And then the Lord, through the prophet, goes, how does it look now? Doesn't it look crummy? That's what he's saying. You have to understand what he's saying. He's going, okay, who's left among you who saw the house in the former glory? How does it look now? Doesn't it seem like nothing? That's what he's saying. It's like, doesn't it look like it's nothing? There's nothing there. It's like nothing happening. There's nothing. It's terrible. It looks awful. You're thinking, where are you going with this, Dave? Follow me. The prophet is asking people to remember how it used to be when it was awesome. Oh, yeah. And he goes, okay, but now look at it. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't look awesome now, does it? Like, no, it doesn't look awesome now. And here's what the Lord says. Even though it doesn't look awesome, be strong. In fact, three times the Lord says, be strong in this one verse and a half. Be strong, be strong, be strong, and work. I know it's a four-letter word and foreign to some people, but it is a word called work. It's something that we can do. So he's like, be strong, be strong, be strong, and work. Okay, that means keep at it. What that means is keep going, work at it. Be strong, don't be weak. Be strong, don't be fearful. Be strong, don't be giving up. Be strong, and work, 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 work. That comes out of Blazing Saddles, by the way. Work, 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 work. Here's the bottom line. He says in verse 5, he says, "I, this is a promise I made you when you came out of Egypt. I'm with you. don't be afraid. The Lord's saying, don't be afraid, I'm not with you. Don't be afraid you're wasting your time. Don't be afraid it's all for naught. Don't be afraid that there's nothing coming of this. Don't be afraid that the other shoe is going to drop, which is what a lot of people do. Oh, the Lord bless me, I can't wait for the other shoe to drop so it evens out. Okay, it's not the rules of the universe, folks. It's God's world, God's universe. It doesn't operate like that. Well, I had one really good thing. Now I have to have one really bad thing. If you're one of those Christians, you actually believe that the laws of the universe are greater than God himself who created the universe. Which is like, what? That doesn't make sense. But here's what he's saying. Look at this. Look at this temple. Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. It's like, it looks like garbage. It's nothing. But I say to you, be strong. Be strong and work and work. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. And this is what he says in verse 9. Because the final glory of this house will be greater than the first. What? Now watch what it is. Look at how it used to be. Wasn't it fantastic? Look at it now. It stinks. But you know what? You keep being strong. You keep working. Because I've made a commitment to be with you, and you don't need to be afraid. And here's a little tip for you. When we're done with this baby, it's going to look nicer than the glorious one of the past. Because I'm working with you, and we got stuff to do. So what it is it'll be even greater than the past what this thing that you're working on is now. And you're thinking, I know, but it looks horrible. And then you could relate this to work, couldn't you? It was so much easier in work when things were like this and the whole system was like this and it was great. How's it look now? Terrible. It looks terrible and nothing's getting done and nobody's doing it right. And the Lord goes, keep working. Be strong. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. And what's going to end up as the final result will be greater than what it used to be when you thought it was great. Like, whoa, what a challenge from the Lord to us. That's not just true from work. That's true for relationships. That's true for anything. Because if you keep at it and the Lord is with you, what ends up at the end will be greater than what it was before. Because that's how God operates. And let me explain to you scripturally how this is a fact. The Garden of Eden was fantastic, wasn't it? It was like, come on. It was, from all we understand, flawless. But the new garden in the new heavens and the new earth will be better. What? But the old garden was so good. I know. But the new one's going to be better. And the Lord's going to be with us in it. And instead of him bopping around just in the evening time, because he came to see Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, which is the evening, we'll be continually in the presence of the Lord. And we don't need a sun and we won't need a moon because the Lord will be the light. And that is better than the original garden. What God brings about afterwards is better than what was great before. You know, I want to know why? Because it's not what it looks like. What it looks like now is a shadow of what it will be. That's how great God is. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere. I'll give this broken
heart to you. More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling. calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
A Georgia couple married for 75 years says the secret to long marriage is going to church together. This is truth itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Robert and Esther Walker were married in 1942. In an interview with CNN, the couple noted that since their days of courtship, church was an important aspect of their lives. CNN noted, "They've kept church at the center of their family, and on road trips, they always sing in the car. After 75 years of marriage, they harmonize on Let Me Call You Sweetheart, and the 106-year-old song sounds very new." The story of the Walkers and their long-lasting marriage comes a couple of months after a study was released whose findings indicated that married couples who attend church are less likely to divorce. Titled Religion and Health, a Synthesis, and conducted by Tyler Vanderweel, a professor at the Harvard School of Public Health, the study found that married couples who attend religious services are 30 to 50% less likely to get divorced than those who do not. Vanderweel noted, religious teachings often indicate that marriage is something sacred, that an important bond is created in the exchange of marriage vows. Attending religious services reinforces that message. He added, religious teachings also discourage or censure divorce to varying degrees across religious traditions, which may lead to lower rates of divorce. Moreover, religious traditions also have strong teachings against adultery, which is one of the strongest predictors of divorce. More than 20 years ago, a group of Christian pioneers partnered in a bold new approach to healthcare based on principles found in God's Word. They called it MediShare. Today, with over 200,000 members, it's a national community of believers who love God and share each other's medical expenses. And it's half the cost of insurance. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I'm telling you, two segments away, we're going to do this little talk right here, and then we're once after that, the next segment, 333, what I consider to be one of the top five DDDs, devotional diamonds of the day, ever done on the David Spoon Experience. Bold statement, you say? I say not. I say I have faith. Huh. All right, couple things to run by you. Don't forget about KPRZ.com, the events taking place throughout the community. Also, don't forget about on that same website that there's a tuitions link for you to get half-price tuitions. Pay half the price. We have some people taking advantage right now. But again, and I said it to you before, if you go on our site and look at the schools and say, oh, I want to put my child in private Christian school, but that school is not on there, send me a personal email. I have great relationships with the schools throughout the community, and there may be something that we can work out. It's not a guarantee, but an email really doesn't cost you a whole lot of money. You got to find the school that you're interested in, though. Can't be a school you're currently attending, because this is for people that haven't really had the opportunity to get involved with private Christian school. That's the whole gig there. David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Pretty easy to understand. So I'll kind of leave that where it is. Let's get into our next little gathering. There is no sound. I was given the no sound sign by Tugboat Todd. Is there a tugboat sound? Do we have that? Okay. So there's some sound. People, you're just lucky I'm not singing for you before these segments. Because that, now that, you would really need, truly, you would understand the concept of deliverance if that process went through. The title of this, Who Really Owns It? Guess what? Another one in Haggai. He's my guy. It's Haggai. All right. I like that. That's kind of cute. Haggai chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says this. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver and gold belong to me, declares the Lord of hosts. The silver and gold belong to me, declares the Lord. I love stuff like this. So let's talk about it. Ready? First key question. Ready? All right, here we go. Who created the earth? God did. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Right? We all there on that one? Now, for some people, they're like, no, the amoebas did. And actually, this is true. A atheist, well-known atheist who passed away not that long ago, said, well, it's highly possible that a superior being came to Earth and deposited two seeds, one male and one female, by which the entire race was then thereby created and went forth. It's amazing that an atheist can come to that conclusion, but can't call them Adam and Eve. It's just so far beyond my scope. It's like, you mean like Adam and Eve? You mean like the Bible? Oh, anyway, so the idea is to understand who created the earth. God did. You didn't create it. No, masses of chunks got together all from out the universe from the last billions of years and formed this perfect sphere for which there is a 23.5 degree angle that the moon sits at, because if it sat at 23 degrees, we would have nothing but tidal waves, and if it sat at 24 degrees, we would have nothing but frost. But it sits at a perfect 23.5 degrees all the time, always, never being moved, and we seem to be just fine and hunky-dory living in this perfect atmosphere. Oh, by the way, then that had to happen 20 billion more times for every other planet. Okay, sure. Okay, or God created it. Okay, got it. So God created the earth. So a key question here is for salvation. If you don't believe God created the earth, and I just had a chance to talk to somebody about this recently, what it really means is that you think it's all by chance and that you don't have any accountability. Well, that's sweet, but when you die, you're going to find out it's not true. So you can be somebody like Ronald Reagan Jr., who's willing to go to hell as an atheist, and to hell he will go, and he's going to find out it's cute here, but not cute on the other side. But here's an interesting question for Bible-believing Christians, because the whole teaching is talking about who really owns it. So we just decided as Christians, as we go to Genesis 1:1, that God created the earth, unless you're a fool who believes in his heart there is no God. So then the next question is, who put humanity in charge of the earth? Anybody got a guess for that? Who put humanity in charge of the earth? In Genesis 1 and 2, we find out that God, again, is at the core, and he put humanity in charge of the earth. Got it. Who's in charge of the earth is God's steward? Man. Who owns the earth? God. Who's in charge of its stewardship? Man. Got it. Then you get to Genesis 3 and answer this question. Who lost the authority over earth through sin? Who lost the authority over the earth through sin? Humanity did. Oh, you mean so God created the earth and then God put man on the earth and said, you know, take care of my garden. Make sure you take care of everything. Make sure it's okay. And that's what God's charge was. But then man in Genesis 3 sinned and lost his authority over the earth. Okay, fine. Question number 4. Who stole that authority from humanity? Satan stole the authority from humanity by getting humanity to sin and rebel against God. Oh, okay, Dave. Then who bought back that authority? Jesus by defeating Satan by never sinning and being the sacrifice for our sins. So God, who owns the earth, and Jesus rules over the authority of the earth. Oh, this is getting great. So I'll ask this question again. So who owns the earth? Ready? God owns the earth. So who owns everything in the earth, on the earth, and around the earth? God. That's why, get this, here it is. All the silver and gold belong to him. It's his earth. You understand? Let me help you out. How many people own property in the studio audience and in the radio audience? How many people? Raise your hand. Wrong. Wrong answer. You don't own any property. You rent. Because it's God's property. And if God comes back to claim his earth, you're not going to be able to hold up a little title deed and look to God and say, look, I own this parcel of land. Because that's not going to work because he owns it. You get to rent it or lease it until he comes back to claim it. So when God says all the silver and all the gold is mine, the reason it's his is because he owns the earth. And everything in the earth and everything on the earth and everything around the earth and, quite frankly, everything everywhere else. So the question is simply, who really owns it? And the answer is God. So you know how you think you have that big piece of land or that nice house or whatever? It's cute. It's totally cute. Love it. Like Mickey Mouse ears on a little kid. Totally cute. Except for you don't own it. You rent it. And if God wants to claim it and take it back, you're not going to tell him no, as is true for all the silver and all the gold and everything else. Best idea you could do, be good friends with God. Since he owns it, you might as well know what you're doing. Why be in a bad relationship with God and be foolish with God? Why not just surrender to God and enjoy his generosity? That is wisdom. We come back. One of the best DDDs ever. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da'ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Hope means the most to those who have lived without it.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Mark DeHaan. A young African refugee who goes by the name of Stephen is a man without a country. He thinks he may have been born in Mozambique or Zimbabwe, but he never knew his father and lost his mother. She fled civil war, traveling country to country as a street vendor. Without ID and unable to prove his place of birth, Stephen walked into a British police station asking to be arrested. Jail seemed better to Stephen than trying to exist on the streets without the rights and benefits of citizenship. The plight of living without a country was on Paul's mind as he wrote his letter to the Ephesians. His non-Jewish readers knew what it was like to live as aliens and outsiders. Only since finding life and hope in Christ had they discovered what it meant to belong to the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus, they learned what it means to be known and cared for by the Father he came to reveal. Paul realized, however, that as the past fades from view, a short memory can cause us to forget that while hope is the new norm, despair was the old reality. May our God help us to live in security, to know each day the belonging that we have as members of His family is by faith in Jesus Christ, and to understand the rights and benefits of having our home in Him. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier. With Our Daily Bread, download the mobile app for your Apple or Android device at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
For joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at kprz.com is an excellent way to go about it. Got a lot of different things coming up. By the way, I found out yesterday, and I did not know this, so I'm going to apologize up ahead of time, but I guess there were some link problems for the podcast because we had the James Robinson interview, and we put that on our podcast, which was like totally cool. And I guess from the website at KPRZ, it wasn't linking towards Hipcast. It was linking towards the cloud, and we have a bunch of them on the cloud, but they're not up to date like they are on Hipcast. So I guess part of that got changed, so keep an eye on that. But if you have a problem or you're looking to get some of the older shows, and we did some interviews, like the other day we did Nani. She was on, Nani Darwish was on just the other day. Those, you can get them quick access through davidspoon.com. There's a link there that says the David Spoon Experience podcast, and it has the most recent 50 plus the other 980, whatever they are. So they're all there, and I just apologize. I did not know that. Just found out about that. We're going to get that corrected very, 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 very soon. Okay? Okay. Good to know. All right. We've got some music, and we've got a DDD that I had the opportunity to write this morning. Before we play the music, I just want to let you know that, you know, I think there are certain DDDs that stand out. And it's not that they're better than others or anything like that. It's when I'm reading the Bible, just like you, and something kind of catches my eye, or it stands out or becomes bold. You know, it has an impact on me. It moves me or touches me in such a way. Well, this morning I was reading, and I'm now at the point where I'm reading the Berean Study Bible in the New Testament, which I'm having just the best time. It reminds me of the original Bible I read the very first time, so I'm having a great time doing it. And then I'm just finishing up the Holman on the Old Testament. I have about two more weeks, and then I'll finish that Bible, and then I'm going to do the ESV in the Old Testament. So I'm kind of looking forward to how things are shaking out. But I was reading this morning, just struck me as superbly important for us to understand this point that I'm going to bring up. The title of this is called No Sacrifice Unnoticed. And so we're going to play this music, which has nothing to do with it directly, other than I think it's super important, and that's why we're playing the music that goes along with it. There it is. So that's Beethoven's fifth, right? The fifth symphony, right? And it's one of the most famous pieces of music, isn't it? Isn't it like the top five pieces of music of all time?
Probably. I'd guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's just wonderful. And there's no particular reason other than I really happen to like that piece. I actually used to, when I was a little younger, I used to buy classical music tapes and listen to the classics driving around. I just didn't tell anybody, you know, because it wasn't cool. I always thought it was fascinating. Here you go. No sacrifice unnoticed. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30 says this. Peter began to say to Jesus, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." "Truly, I tell you," said Jesus, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the gospel will fail to receive 100-fold in this present age houses and brothers and sisters and mother and children and fields along with persecutions and to receive eternal life in the age to come. Peter and the disciples are walking with Jesus. And Jesus was having conversations about sacrifice and about a willingness to, you know, lay things down for the kingdom. And Peter responds in a way that I think is not just normal, but in a certain sense, right and even righteous. He says to Jesus, look, we have left everything and followed you. Let's be clear that when the Lord calls people, he does not call each individual to go to the level that the 12 disciples went to. You understand that when the Lord calls people, he calls people in different stages and in different places, different lives, different, you know, personalities, different professions, and not everybody is required to give up to the extent that these 12 disciples were commanded to do or required to do. And Peter is honest about it and says, look, Jesus, we gave up everything. They walked away from business. They walked away from family. They walked away from everything to follow Jesus. There's no indication that they never saw family or anything like that. What we're talking about is that they absolutely prioritized for the 3 years or 3.5 years following Jesus. That became their priority. To the sacrifice of business, to the sacrifice of family, to the sacrifice of anything and everything. So Jesus responds, because what Peter said was not wrong, and Jesus does not correct him. Jesus responds saying this, no one who has left home, now here's what I want you to get, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields. Jesus doesn't say, following me, you have to give up homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, and fields. He says, if you are a person who has been called by me and you have had to sacrifice any of these things, not necessarily all of these things, which is why Jesus uses the word or 6 times. Maybe you gave up homes. Maybe you gave up brothers. Maybe you gave up sisters. Maybe you gave up fathers. Maybe you gave up mothers. Maybe you gave up children. Maybe you gave up fields. Maybe you gave up something of sacrifice. Whatever that sacrifice is, whatever it is you have sacrificed because you wanted to follow Jesus, he knows. Any sacrifice that you made for Jesus is noticed and recognized by God. That is the one line that I want Tugboat Todd to write into the description. Any sacrifice that you made for Jesus, any sacrifice that you made for Jesus is noticed and recognized by God. And in that, Jesus says two extremely profound things. He says, anybody who's given in that sacrificial way, whether it's homes or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children's or fields or anything else that you gave up, let's say you were going to take a job, but in your spirit, you know, the Lord didn't want you to take it and you were trying to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That is a sacrifice. And God notices and knows that you did that. And the response from Jesus is just utterly outstanding. He says, any person that has created any sacrifice, they will receive from me, from the Father, now in this lifetime and in eternity for that sacrifice you've made. No matter how different it seems, your sacrifice could have been jobs, could be people, could be money, could be situational. If you gave it up genuinely for Jesus Christ, he notices and he says you're going to get paid now in this lifetime and in the future lifetime, in our eternity, in some capacity, not by dollars, but in some commitment, there's going to be a response for you receiving more than you sacrificed. But he throws in a caveat and says, however, this goes along with persecutions. So what Jesus is saying is, because of your sacrifice, it is noted. I know your sacrifice. It is real. But that sacrifice that I know about that you're still going to receive from this lifetime and the next lifetime, it does not exclude you from trials in the kingdom of God. You're still going to suffer trials. You're still going to go through garbage. It's still going to be hard. There's still going to be persecutions. But your sacrifice is noted, it will be responded to, it will be rewarded, no matter what that sacrifice is. But it doesn't eliminate you from going through trials and persecutions because you're a believer. You're still going to go through things. That's why no sacrifice is unnoticed, but no sacrifice entitles you to special privilege. You still go through the trials that you're required to go through. That, to me, top of the line. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
And now I'm asking you again to forgive my sin.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
What is a worldview? Whether you can answer that question or not, you have one. This is Jim Garlow. A worldview is a way of seeing your world, making sense of the world around you. But it's even more than that. It encompasses your philosophy of life, your presuppositions, the things you believe consciously or unconsciously. It's what you perceive as reality. Said another way, your worldview is the lens through which you view everything, even life itself. Your school-aged children are more than likely learning from popular history revisionists who believe America does not have a Christian heritage. Teddy Roosevelt, commenting on America's Christian heritage, said, "The teachings of the Bible are so interwoven and entwined with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally impossible for us to figure to ourselves what that life would be if these teachings were removed." There's more at jimgarlow.com.
A Georgia couple married for 75 years says the secret to long marriage is going to church together. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Robert and Esther Walker were married in 1942. In an interview with CNN, the couple noted that since their days of courtship, church was an important aspect of their lives. CNN noted, "They've kept church at the center of their family, and on road trips, they always sing in the car. After 75 years of marriage, they harmonize on Let Me Call You Sweetheart, and the 106-year-old song sounds very new." The story of the Walkers and their long-lasting marriage comes a couple of months after a study was released whose findings indicated that married couples who attend church are less likely to divorce. Titled Religion and Health, a Synthesis, and conducted by Tyler Vanderweel, a professor at the Harvard School of Public Health, the study found that married couples who attend religious services are 30 to 50% less likely to get divorced than those who do not. Vanderweel noted, "Religious teachings often indicate that marriage is something sacred, that an important bond is created in the exchange of marriage vows. Attending religious services reinforces that message." He added, "Religious teachings also discourage or censure divorce to varying degrees across religious traditions, which may lead to lower rates of divorce. Moreover, religious traditions also have strong teachings against adultery, which is one of the strongest predictors of divorce." More than 20 years ago, a group of Christian pioneers partnered in a bold new approach to healthcare based on principles found in God's Word. They called it MediShare. Today, with over 200,000 members, it's a national community of believers who love God and share each other's medical expenses. And it's half the cost of insurance. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Telling you, that DDD, you let that baby sink in. Ooh, no sacrifice unnoticed. That is going to be on the top of my list. You know, that's just, I need to be aware of that. That the Lord knows, but that doesn't give me a pass from going through persecutions. Like, yep, that's something to be highly aware of. Okay, let's see. We got a very interesting week coming up next week and the week after. We have Bible League going to be joining us, not next week, but the week after. And we got some pretty stellar interviews, which we've been really blessed this year with just phenomenal interviews. And that's just going to keep going. So we're excited about that. Let's see. I'll just be honest, okay? This is the first weekend where now my second grandchild is like, you know, doing all the, you know, little function, you know, like little things that are cool. And so I get to see little Carter Bear tonight. And then I got to see Addie Bug through our Skype and Duo like three or four times this week. And I'm just grandpa-ing this thing as far as I can. And now my kids are in this unspoken war who can take the better picture of their kids, which the only winner in this war is me because I just get a bunch of pictures and pictures and pictures. So it's kind of cool. Anyhow, I'm just being honest. That's what's going to happen this weekend. I'm going to be just a, you know, a grandpa going, I'm too young for this. I'll tell you one story, though. Okay, one real quick story before we do our thing. So my son has a beard, for those that don't know. He doesn't have a small beard. He's got one of those mammoth Haystacks Calhoun beards. Just enormous, right? So yesterday I was talking to him, and I was talking on the phone. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm coming back from the shop, the barbershop. I said, why'd you go to the barbershop? He goes, I had to get my beard trimmed. I said, well, it's not all trimmed. He goes, no, just shaved back and tight. I said, well, what's going on? He goes, I held the baby, and I pulled the baby close to me, and I poked him in the eye with one of my hairs on my beard. I think I laughed for about 2 minutes because I thought that was just, that's hilarious. The baby didn't get hurt, but he had to shave. This grandpa thing is just fantastic. It's just like, it's unbelievable. It's like, you know, eating with no calories. It's incredible. All right, let's get to our Facebook post. The title of this is I Can't Hear You. So we have some sound, I think. Do we have some sound?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Do it again.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Okay. Wow. Got to be towards the end of the week. That's all I can say. Psalm chapter 40, verse 6b. I like how R.C. Sproul does that. He's one of the few people that I love it. It's like, it's chapter 40, verse 6, C or D. I mean, he breaks it up in those spots. I love it. So this is Psalm 40, verse 6b. It says this, you open my ears to listen. You open my ears to listen. Let me tell you what it says literally in the Hebrew. You hollow out ears for me. You hollow out ears for me. I don't know what it is. I think of a potato and then like a drill and then somebody like going zzz, zzz, so that you can like, okay, let's get all that gunk out of there so you can hear. It's like you hollow out ears for me. Now, why would we need the Lord to hollow out ears for us? Why would you need that? much like we talked about in the first hour, because of all the distracting noises surrounding our lives that have nothing to do with his voice. There are so many winds still blowing while we're on the boat with Jesus going across the lake. There's just so many. And they're howling, and some are saying this, or some are saying that. And they're just all this noise and all this distracting noise that just pulls us away. And so in the Psalm 40, verse 6, he says, "You open my ears to listen. You hollow out my ears for me," because all the distracting noises that surround our lives drowned out our ability to hear. We say to the Lord, "What did you say?" And that's exactly it. You want to know why you, when the Lord will speak to you, you'll go, "What? Huh? I didn't hear you." Right, because there's so many distracting noises and voices that we don't hear with clarity. So in the post, there's a prayer, not complex prayer. It's a prayer because we have all these noises coming around us. And it says, "Lord, help me to hear what's important. Help me to hear you in Jesus' name. Amen." It's not, "Help me to hear what's important. Help me to discern between this group of media and this person over here." No, no, no. "Help me to hear what's important. Help me to hear you." And that applies when you're reading the word, and that applies when you're praying. Because when you're praying, you're supposed to be still and know that he's God. But it's hard to hear when we are just distracted by all the noises around us and the undisciplined noises in our head. "Lord, help me to hear what's important. Help me to hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen." All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 70-hour break, and then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.